Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Grow up, you know, put on our big boy boots and climb down from our high chairs and be men of God and be women of God and be surrendered to God and let God's way be true. Let God be true and all men a liar. It says here that they came as one man into the street that was before the water gate. This is where the Gibeonites went and they gathered water and they brought, this is a great big open area. It was the largest place for a gathering of people. So that's where they gathered. They gathered there before the water gate, and look what they asked for. Now listen, I never saw this before. This morning's the first time I saw it. You know, I kind of pray through the text every Sunday morning. I never saw this before. I always preached this and thought of this and studied this and taught this. Then Ezra, the high priest, comes and he brings out the law and he reads it. That's not exactly what happened. The people asked for the word of God. I never saw that before. There was a great desire and a hunger for God's word. And when that happens, the word of God is taught and the word of God is preached and God shows up. And then there's going to be great revival. Revival will take place in Michigan when God shows up. Revival will take place at Fundamental Baptist Church when God shows up. And when is that going to happen? It's when we finally get around to the place where we get desperate and we ask for God. We ask for the Bible. We have a strong hunger. Do you have that, by the way? A strong desire for God's book. It says here in verse 1, they spake unto Ezra. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. God is not going to force himself on you. God is not going to force himself on the church. God did not force himself on Old Testament Israel. God is waiting for the church to get prepared for revival. We could go back to 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. There's lots of Bible texts we could look at. I'm telling you, when God's people get ready, revival will come. They talk about the great Welsh revival. And old Bimbo, man, I just forgot his last name. But he was asked this question, just a coal miner, layman turned preacher, greatly used of God in spreading the gospel. And that Welsh revival spread all over the world. He said, why Wales? Why did the fire fall at Wales? He said, because Wales provided the tinder. The kindling. Wales provided what was needed, and then God showed up in mighty power. Let's let this happen at Fundamental Baptist Church. Now, when these kind of messages are preached, and we've got revival meetings coming up in a couple of weeks, the devil starts working. If you come on Sunday night, you've been hearing that message. When God starts working, the devil sets up shop. And he's going to find ways. He's going to find ways, you know, to try to mess things up. I'm telling you, you and me, let's surrender to God. Let's allow God to do a great work. They gathered like one man. They gathered at the water gate. They cried unto Ezra, Ezra, bring out the book. You see, for years, they hadn't heard the word of God. They were so hungry. We've got to get to the place where we will realize the Bible is our only hope. Not the television set, not the computer. Not the iPod, not music, the Bible. It says, they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. It's a whole family, husband, wife, and children. And that's the way revival needs to take place. Upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday. from sunrise until mid-afternoon. Before the men and women, he read it before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Attentive unto the word of God. The truth is, a preacher ought to just have to get up and read John 3:16 and it smite our hearts. I mean, if you're walking with God, you wouldn't have to be a whole lot of entertaining. I like funny stories. I like jokes. You understand my humor. We're all kind of basically the same way. But we need the word of God. And somebody just stand up and read. And man, they were being blessed just by the reading of God's word. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly divide, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be people that study the word of God. Back to the Bible, it just makes sense. And for a half a day, these people, that changed a nation. They were desirous of the word of God. You can't have a casual, laissez-faire attitude, a take-it-or-leave-it kind of attitude with the Bible. You can't. I've read it several times recently, that the millennials, that's the newest generation, are looking for the truth. This is time. The time is right for revival right now. And they're looking for the word of God. Let's read on here. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they made for that purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. So people on his right, men on his right, men on his left. And Ezra opened the book. Hey, I want to say something here. I know some things will continue to change. I don't know after I'm gone should the Lord tarry, and the youngest of the three is probably Josh. He may have to deal with it. You'll have to deal with it. I'm having to deal with it a little bit. It says they opened the book. They didn't open their iPad or their cell phone, a smartphone. They opened the book. I know the Bible is on your cell phone. I know that. And I know I'm a little bit old-fashioned, and I do. I struggle with change in a big way. But I love the fact that I can handle, I have it in my hand, the book, the Word of God. And there isn't a bunch of other junk in there either, all right, like there is on your cell phone. I mean, I don't know when I'm preaching if you are really looking at the text or if you're getting the scores off ESPN. I don't know that. And that really, I'm telling you, that really bothers me. I've got issues. That bothers me big. Because I know, in a crowd this size, some of you are. I know that. You cannot do that. It says, Ezra opened the book, and they showed great reverence for the book. It wasn't a coffee table ornament. It wasn't something that slid back and forth in the back window of their car all week long. And then they took it out, and you look so spiritual with your pages all wrinkled but it wasn't from being used, just from sitting out and baking in the hot sun all week long. They had reverence for the Word of God. You know, the Bible isn't going to, by osmosis, go from the truths of the Bible, from that book, right into your life, unless you read it. Let's go back to that verse. Ezra opened the book, not the iPad. I want to say that one more time. In fact, I want to write that down. I want to write that down right here. It's not an iPad. He didn't have an iPad. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, reverence for the Word of God, it's missing. Somehow, they were taken into captivity, marched 800 miles to Babylon. Somehow prior to that, because the consequences was captivity, somehow prior to that, they got away from the book. They bowed their knees to idols. Not just little images. Things in their life that came between them and Jehovah God. America is an idolatrous nation. America has idols in every direction. Oh, God bless you young people that put Jesus first in your life. You are fewer and farther between all of the time. We took our young guys down to the Highways and Hedges Conference and took a van load down and required a couple of things of them. I said, hey, you're going to wear a tie? You're going to bring a notebook? And, of course, they had to take notes all day long, and it was for a grade in class. But nobody down there knows that. And I'm telling you, if I heard it once, I heard it a half a dozen times. You got sharp young men in your church. Man, how looks can be deceiving, huh? No, the truth is, I do want to, because I'm on them all the time. We do have some sharp young people in this church. They haven't arrived. And they all got baggage. You know why they got baggage, by the way? Because their mom and dad has baggage, right? But praise God for young people that at least want to be in church and want to grow a little bit. But listen, probably more than my preaching, they probably did more for those country pastors than what I did. Because they all pastor, the majority of them, it's a rural pastors conference. They pastor 30 and 40 people, most of them. And they see 15, 20 guys come in with ties on and carrying their Bibles and sitting up front and listening all day long and taking notes. Man, that blessed their hearts. That really did. And you know what? I tell you, I give you guys credit. Thank you for being there. Thankful for learning. Thank you for having the attitude you had while you were there. And thank you for not eating all the cake before I got there. At supper time, they reverence the word of God. Verse 5, verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Now, so it was a prayer. So here's a church service, if you will. It's Old Testament. It's not the New Testament church, but here it is. They read the word of God. They show great reverence for the word of God. Ezra prays to the mighty God of heaven. Don't know exactly all that he prayed, but Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. So there's a little Baptist in these people back here, these Old Testament Jews. You see, saying amen is spiritual. Not spiritual, I'm sorry. It's not necessarily spiritual, but it's right. And I can take you to the New Testament in the Church of Corinth, where it talks about the gift of tongues and the abuse of it, and how speaking in another language, nobody can say amen. So they did it in the New Testament as well. So it isn't the Baptists that invented that kind of thing. And it's good to realize amen means so be it. And so if the preacher says something that you agree with, you don't have to be an exhibitionist. I'm not asking you to run up and down the pews. But, it's okay to say amen once in a while. And the truth is, it won't hurt you to say amen every once in a while. If it builds up in there enough pressure is going to build up, you might explode if you don't let it go every once in a while. When the Word of God is preached, it's exciting. When the Word of God, and you've been through the fires, and you know, hey, the Word of God is true. That's right, preacher. So be it. Say amen once in a while. At least get to the place where you nod your little bony heads, all right? That helps me once in a while, too. Verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. They're involved in the worship, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Great humility. They reverenced the word of God. Next verse, and Jeshua, and Bani, and Sherebiah. Let's go all the way down to verse 8. That's preachers, all right? So they read the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They explained the word of God. That's preaching. Explaining and teaching the word of God with zeal and with anointing. I told them down there, and I believe it, if you're not teaching, you're not preaching. All you do is cheerleading. Our people need to hear, you and I need to hear, the Bible, the word of God. I want to encourage you to come to all of our services. You may not know this, but Sunday morning isn't the only service we have. And you're not going to get a whole, you'll get Bible, and I try to give you as much as I can in 30 minutes because we're limited to the radio, but I'm telling you, you're not getting, sometimes I preach textual in the morning, sometimes I preach expository, sometimes I preach topical messages. But in Sunday school, we go verse by verse. On Sunday night, I preach through books, and we go verse by verse, line by line. Same thing on Wednesday night. Man, you're going to get the Word of God. I don't see Richard here this morning. They must be downstate, but I remember the greatest compliment anybody ever paid to me. It wasn't nice speech, Reverend. That doesn't do it, right? That wasn't it. It was when Richard came up to me after a service and said, Pastor, I went to an ordination service over in Wisconsin, and I want you to know I could answer every question that council ask the man that was being ordained. And the reason I could answer it, answer those questions, was adult Sunday school. I said, Richard, you paid me the greatest compliment anybody has ever paid me. Get to the Word of God. Don't be satisfied with being in a church that does cheerleading or just does book reports. Man, we need the preaching. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. So these men read the Word. They read it distinctly. They put it in its context. They gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is Tirshatha, and that means governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. They so loved the scriptures. Man, are you that way? Sometimes I'm not. I'm convicted about that. They so loved and so thirsted for the Word of God. Man, they just finished 70 years in captivity. They wanted the Word of God. Ezra, read us the Bible. Ezra, give to us the scriptures. The other Levites and priests, they stood up and they gave sense. It was expository preaching. They gave to them what the Word of God was saying. And the reaction of the people was by way of joy, they wept. They wept because of conviction of sin. And they were actually hearing God's Word. Don't take the Bible casually. Don't say, I can take it or leave it. Don't just take portions of the Bible. You and I, in this day and age in which we live, with all of our knowledge and all that is available to us, we ought to know this book from cover to cover. We ought to be mining in its mining up golden nuggets every single day. And you'll never get to all of it. You'll never learn it all. I told you just this morning, I never saw before that the people were the ones that asked for the Word of God. Man, it's just there all of the time. They heard the Word and they wept. They wept so much so that the leadership had to stand up and say, stop. This is a day of rejoicing. Man, we've got the Word of God. Just get your heart right and let's rejoice. Let's rightly divide the Word of truth. We as a people and a culture are very, we have spiritual ADD. Most people aren't willing to sit down and read like they ought. I'm not pounding on teenagers this morning. I challenge you, be a reader. Man, get in the book. I share this at my own demise, but it's the truth. One of the preachers stood up and he was doing a workshop. Brother Mark Monte, he's a good preacher. Pastors in Indianapolis. That's in Indiana, right? Indiana. And he's a great preacher. He's a great expositor of the Word. He writes books. He's a Bible college teacher. Man, he is rock solid. And the workshop, and I'm sitting over here on this side of the auditorium, and they said, Brother, you guys remember this. I said, Brother Monte, you probably read a lot of books, don't you? He said, oh, yeah. I mean, and he does. We talked the night before. He devours books. He looked over at me like it showed in our preaching or something. Brother Rader, you probably don't read a whole lot, do you? A whole lot of books. I said, no, I really don't. We were talking about it afterwards. You know what? It's not that I don't read commentaries. I do, but I read one book to get my messages. I don't know everything. I research things. I do look at other books. But the majority of my messages, man, it's right there. It's spelled right out. What do I got to know? You know, I need to know this book. And truth is, Brother Monty's mind might be a whole lot bigger than mine. In fact, he's got a bigger head than I do. It's pretty good size. He can hold that. I can't. I'm over here with this little head. But I thank God I don't have a little pencil head like some of my sons. But, oh, I got this 7 5/8 inch head that I've got. But we got to fill our lives with the Word of God. That's when revival is going to come. We can't just do our own thing. Right now, you got how many people are on diets in our church? Man, is this happening? As people get older, it seems like there's more and more. Our young people are on diets, and my wife's going to start another diet now. I don't know what they're calling it. Greg's down representing the camp downstate again today, so they're not here. But somehow it came through him, and then Rachel, and now Debbie's into it. I'm a little bit fearful of what it means to me. I told them, I'm on the West Pier diet. Anybody know what that is? I'm going to write a book about that, baby. Everybody that's local knows what the West Pier is. It's a little greasy spoon, best restaurant in the area. Man, it's closed all winter, and I've already been there two times, you know, it's already this spring. Yeah, I'm on the West Pier diet. I think that'd be, and you say, well, what good's that? You're not going to lose any weight. It doesn't matter. I'm going to like it. No, you know the truth is? That's the kind of Christianity a lot of people have. Well, I just like it. No, I just like the contemporary movement. I just like the fact that I can do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter if it's not good for me. We got to get back to the Word of God. We got to get back. They found the book. Ezra, bring out the Bible. He reads it. They show great reverence. They ask for the book, and then they show great reverence. They shout, amen. They weep as it's being read. Let's read on here. Verse 10 says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. By the way, Christianity isn't a selfish kind of relationship with God. Man, you meet the needs of everybody around you. Even if it means taking away from yourself and sacrificing a little bit. He says, you send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. Now revival is just about ready to fully break loose. Verse 12 says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make a great mirth. Says, all the people did that because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So the next day, all the leadership gathers around Ezra. And they found written, they're in the book. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, Feast of the Tabernacles. And that they should publish and proclaim all in all their cities and Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees and make booths as it is written. That's part of the law, part of the Levitical law. They're reading the Word of God and they come to the passage that teaches them about the Feast of the Tabernacles. That is a picture. What it was God wanted Israel to keep this feast for 7 days. He was to keep this feast, maybe 8 days, no, 7 days, keep this feast to remind them of God delivering them from Egypt. So as a nation, they would never forget what God had done when he delivered them from Egypt. And he said, I want you for a week to live in little lean-tos, in little shelters that you make. And I want you that week to reflect and fellowship and feast and remember the mighty arm of God and how he delivered the nation Israel, the Hebrews, out of the land of Egypt, from the land of Goshen. He delivered them, brought them over the Red Sea, and made them a free people. A picture of New Testament salvation, and we are to remember what Jesus did at Calvary and never forget it. And we remember it and relish it and live there every day of our lives. It's called the old-time religion. It's called getting back to the book. Now they read this, and they read it literally, just like a good biblicist ought to. Verse 16 says, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to go back to it. Long about verses 14 or 15, they're to publish it in all of their cities and in Jerusalem so everybody knows. What a picture of being evangelistic and spreading the gospel. Everyone upon the roof of his house or in their courts or in the courts of the house of God in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto this day, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was a very great gladness. Revival has broken out. Now it's the old-time religion again. They read in the book how they were supposed to be living, and they went back, and they're still Old Testament, and they start doing it again. And the result of revival is there's great rejoicing. There is great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Revival will break place when God's people get ready. Get back to the book. Not a real deep message this morning, but a whole chapter out of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. God calling his people back to righteousness by way of the law, the scriptures. God is still doing that today in the year 2015. He's calling his people, no matter what the world is shouting, he's calling his people back to righteousness by way of the Word of God. And when we get in the book and have the same attitude that God's people had, reverence and weeping and then rejoicing and part of the worship and actually saying amen and being right with God and desiring and hungering and thirsting for the Word of God, God will show up. That's a very basic way of saying it. God's already here. We know that. But He'll take over if we'll just surrender. So many things have changed. Things have changed so much in the last 2 years in our culture. It's hard to grasp. Things that were dead wrong, now people think are right. Church houses are empty. We're one of the exceptions. Prayer meetings are poorly attended. People don't walk the aisles and get saved anymore, it seems. Now, never take for granted what God has done here and doing here. Boy, be thankful for everybody that gets saved. Be thankful for everyone that walks the aisle. Be thankful for tender hearts and get yourself out of the way so God the Holy Spirit can do a great work. I struggle with change. I know some things are bound for change. I don't drive a 1974 Pinto anymore. I'm thankful some things do change. Some people used to say, man, you drive a 1974 Pinto, you don't have to. I used to tell them, I'm not going to purgatory. I'm experiencing right now, right here. I got this Pinto. And the Bible, the purgatory isn't in the Bible. I don't want to mislead you on that. But, some things are bound for change. God's book, God Himself, the message of God, it's never going to change. You've heard that joke, how many Bible fundamentalists does it take to change a light bulb? Change? We don't change anything. I'm glad for that. I am. The things that are going to change are going to change, but God is never going to change. Man, hold to the Word of God. I recognize that maybe 20 years from now, more people will have iPods. They won't even call them iPods. That'll be all outdated, you know. I understand all of that. I would encourage you, though, as just the old man in the group, the old-fashioned preacher, hang on to your Bible. Man, hang on to the Word of God. Don't let anybody take it away from you. You can't make notes on your cell phone. You can't write. You can't use it as a textbook and take all kinds of notes. You can't do that. Get so you know the books of the Bible. Man, you got to memorize. You know right where it is. Man, that's wonderful. Tools are great. But let's have revival. Let's have the real McCoy. Dr. Smith's going to be here in a couple weeks. He's a local church preacher. Dr. Joe Arthur, my favorite. He's going to be here. Man, let's see some people. Let's bring some people to Christ. That'll be pleasing to God. Let's rally the troops. You know somebody that isn't here this morning? There are several that aren't here. I look around. I try to take note and who's here and who's not here. And it's a great crowd this morning. But there are people that aren't here. And there's some people going through some sickness. And I mean, I understand all of that. Let's rally the troops. Let's prepare for revival. Let's just take that first step. Hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Gather together as one man and hunger for the Bible.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Tim Rader at Fundamental Baptist Church. We would like to invite you to our special old-fashioned revival meetings with Dr. Sheldon Smith, editor of Sword of the Lord, and Dr. Joe Arthur, nationwide speaker and pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Services are May the 3rd through the 6th. Sunday service, 10 and 11 a.m. with a 6 p.m. service. Monday through Wednesday, 7 p.m.